In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for thee. Exercise all thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works, and I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Okay, we are looking at Lesson 28 of My Catholic Faith, the God-man. And the image shows us the four prophets. Actually, I think I'll read the caption first and then try to read what's inside the picture. So, throughout the centuries, God sent prophets to predict different events and facts concerning the promised Savior. Among the most important prophets were Jeremiah, Isaiah, Daniel, and Ezekiel. Daniel predicted the exact time of the birth of the Redeemer. He said his kingdom would have no end and would embrace all kingdoms. Isaiah prophesied that the Messiah would be born of a virgin and would be both God and man, and would die patiently and willingly, like a lamb for our sins. If we look at the image, the illustration there, in the center we see an image of the Nativity, Mary and Joseph kneeling down with the infant child, and then above that, the crucifix, Christ hanging upon a cross high upon a mountain there. But those are in the center, and to either side we have large images of the prophets, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Daniel, and Ezekiel. And there's inscriptions, they're each holding a scripture passage. And there's an inscription like on a pedestal that the statues would be standing on. All right, so Jeremiah's holding in his hands the words, words spoken by the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet. And then the pedestal it says, And I was as a meek lamb that is carried to be a victim. Okay. And Isaiah's holding in his hands the words, Hear, O ye heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. And on his pedestal it says, Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. Okay. In Daniel, he's holding a scroll in his hand that says, I saw a great vision, and I fell on my face trembling. And on his pedestal it says, 20 weeks of years are shortened, that iniquity may be also, and Christ shall be slain, from Daniel. And Ezekiel, the scroll in his hands, the heavens were opened, and I saw the victim, and I saw the visions of God. And his pedestal says, And I will make you a subject to my scepter and the Lord God. Okay. And I don't have really anything else to point out about that image. So,
Bishop Giles, it says iniquity may be abolished.
Okay. Yes. So 20 weeks of years are shortened, that iniquity may be abolished, and Christ shall be slain. So you have to understand the curse of handwriting, I guess. It's a new code. Children are unable to read it these days. All right. The God-man. What is the chief teaching of the Catholic Church about Jesus Christ? The chief teaching of the Catholic Church about Jesus Christ is that he is God made man. 1. Christ himself said that he is God. The Jews understood his claim literally, and he was condemned to death for blasphemy for making himself the Son of God. Christ said, All power in heaven and earth has been given to me, in St. Matthew 28:18. And the high priest said to him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou art the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to him, Thou hast said it, from Matthew 26:63. I and the Father are one, from St. John 10:30. Second paragraph, Christ proved his claims by wonderful miracles, by prophecies, by his knowledge of all things, and by the holiness of his life. These miracles Christ worked in his own name, not as his followers did who worked in the name of God. He simply said, quote, I will, be thou made clean, from St. Matthew 8:3. Christ himself appealed to his miracles as a testimony of the truth of his doctrines and divinity, saying, quote, if you are not willing to believe me, believe the works, from St. John 10:38. Christ foretold future events. Among other things, he predicted the passion, death, and resurrection, the treason of Judas, and the perpetuity of his church. Paragraph 3, the apostles, the followers of Christ himself, plainly taught that Christ is God and died in testimony of their faith. St. John says, quote, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, end quote. Another quote, and the Word was made flesh. St. Paul writes in him, Christ dwells in all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, from Colossians 12, or 2, 9. St. Thomas openly professed the divinity of Christ when he said, quote, my Lord and my God, from St. John 20:28. St. Peter said, quote, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Okay, paragraph 4, the church teaches that Jesus Christ is God. Its teachings have spread throughout all nations in spite of untold obstacles. The church has grown by the simplest of means. It spread ever accompanied by wonderful miracles by which God designs to show forth the truth of the church. The doctrine of the divinity of Christ is the foundation of the Christian religion. Paragraph 5. Even the enemies of the Catholic Church have admitted their belief in the divinity of Jesus Christ. Napoleon, about to die, said, quote, I know men, but Jesus was more than man. My men deserted me in the field when I was there leading them. Christ's army has been faithful for centuries. A leader who has an army which functions, though he is dead, is not a man. End quote. Why is Jesus Christ God? Jesus Christ is God because he is the only Son of God, having the same divine nature as his Father. Quote, and they all said, art thou then the Son of God? He answered, you yourself say that I am. And they said, what further need have we of witness? For we have heard it ourselves from his own mouth. From St. Luke chapter 22, verses 70 through 71. The first paragraph, man, after the fall, was unable to regain himself his former holiness. He became like a sick man who could not arise from bed. He needed someone to raise him up. Since the sin he had committed had been an offense against an infinite God, the atonement needed had to be by an infinite one, the Son of God himself. Another quote, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, from St. John 3:16. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, from St. Matthew 3:17. Second paragraph, Christ is called the Word. Just as the thought in our minds finds expression in a word, so the Son of God, dwelling in the bosom of his Father, was shown to the world when the Word became man. Quote, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, from St. John chapter 1, verses 1 and 14. Why is Jesus Christ man? Jesus Christ is man because he is the Son of the Blessed Virgin and has a body and soul like ours. The birth of Jesus Christ is a fact of history. He was born of Mary, who was espoused to a carpenter named Joseph, who lived in Nazareth of Galilee. The Archangel Gabriel said to Mary, quote, the Holy One to be born shall be called the Son of God. End quote. The second paragraph. Jesus Christ is true man because he has a body and soul like ours. He derived his human nature from his mother. History tells us of Jesus Christ who preached in and about Jerusalem over 1900 years ago. Many records tell of his appearance, of his words, of his actions, of his teachings. Nobody doubted that Jesus Christ was a man, for he could be seen and touched like other men. He lived and died just as men of all times live and die. How can we prove that the religion God has revealed through Christ is worthy of belief? We can prove that the religion God has revealed through Christ is worthy of belief because, 1, Jesus Christ, announcing himself as the true Son of God, whose coming was foretold by the prophets, preached doctrines which he said all must believe. If Christ is God, then the religion he established is true, and the church he founded is the true church. We can believe everything he says, even without understanding it, because God cannot err. If Jesus Christ were not God, then Christianity would be a farce, and the sooner it were done away with, the better. If Christ were not God, then he were an impostor, who by claiming divinity had led billions into error for almost 2,000 years. I guess we can change that for more than 2,000 years now. Second paragraph, Christ worked wonderful miracles, which show that the God of truth approved his teachings. Christ worked so many miracles publicly that all flocked to him to be cured. But when John had heard in prison of the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples to say to him, Art thou he who is to come, or shall we look for another? And Jesus answering said to them, Go and report to John what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead rise, the poor have the gospel preached to them. From St. Matthew 11, verses 2 through 5. Christ performed miracles on inanimate objects, as when he changed water into wine, calmed the storm, multiplied loaves. He healed in an instant the sick, the blind, the lame. He expelled devils. He raised the dead to life as the daughter of Jairus, the son of the widow of Nain, and Lazarus. Even his enemies acknowledged his miracles. The Pharisees planned to kill Lazarus because the Jews believed in Jesus as a result of the miracle. He worked miracles on his own person, as in the Transfiguration, Resurrection, and Ascension.
Hello, Father.
So that completes the readings here for this lesson. But I think there's not really much I can add here. You know, it is the basic catechism. Who is Jesus Christ? He is true God and true man. He is the second person of the Blessed Trinity. He is the Son of God. He is the Word made flesh. He has two natures in one person. And beyond that, everything else, I think, really remains a mystery, or pretty much a mystery to us. And this is what we know, because this is what Christ has told us of himself. This is what the Catholic Church has revealed to us, that Christ is God, he is man, and he gives proof of this by the miracles that he's performed. If you're not going to believe his word, then believe the works that he has done. And so the works that he did were undeniable. And so that is really what created his enemies, because they could not deny the truth of the miracles that he performed and the number of people that witnessed the miracles, that received the miracles. If I just think of the multitudes that he fed in the desert, the two multiplications of the bread and the loaves of fishes, already we're talking hundreds of people. I think, what was there, 500, 5,000, or quite a few just at one of those episodes, but the numbers were vast there. And so these people all saw Christ, they heard him, and there was no denying it. Today we still believe in Jesus Christ, and as Napoleon pointed out, his kingdom continues to reign, his army continues to function, even after he has long been deceased. Any questions, comments?
No? Pretty amazing.
Yeah. So, we have every reason to believe that Christ is God, and we must do as he said. And that really is the foundation of our faith. In theology, we have really a hierarchy, I guess, of validity, of proofs, of argumentation. And the first is that it's in Scripture. If a doctrine is taught in Scripture, we believe it. That's the highest proof. Christ has said it, therefore it is so. It cannot be any other way. And then we can fall back on tradition. We can fall back on logic and reason and these more human things. And I'm really amazed that the world tends to think that logic and reasonableness of an argument are more important than the scriptural fact, or that Christ has said it is so. And with our Catholic faith, the highest proof is Christ said it, therefore we believe it. There's really no other argument that we can make. Right. If there are no other questions, we'll end with the act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendet super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.